Okay, our final speaker will be M. Arpawong. Ms. Arpawong is a doctoral student in health behavior research at the Institute of Health Promotion and Disease Prevention Research at USC and conducts health services research with the Center for Community Health Studies. Her work at the center focuses on evaluating quality of care and health insurance expansion programs for low-income children in California. In addition, M's current research interests include applications of behavioral theories to healthcare use and disease management compliance, evaluating the correlation between access to care and health outcomes and the policy implications for health systems research. Ms. Arpawong will present Measuring Performance in Health Insurance Expansion Programs for Children.
Good afternoon. Jump right in. No relationship to this close. Okay. So I thought I would just structure this talk by identifying the learning objectives. The first learning objective is how to identify potential issues in measuring healthcare among children. Secondly, to describe HEDIS measures and how that can be used to compare healthcare experiences. Thirdly, is to recognize the advantages and disadvantages of using HEDIS. So just to get a sense, how many people here have used HEDIS or are familiar with it? Okay, just a few. And actually, how many people are from the counties? California counties that have the Healthy Kids program? Okay. So a little bit about health insurance coverage for children in California, just to give you a background. According to the California Health Interview Survey in 2005, about 763,000 kids in California did not have health insurance coverage. And about a third of those did not qualify for existing state and federal programs. And mostly that was due to income level or immigration status. So as a solution, counties have gotten together to form what is called the Children's Health Initiatives. These are public-private partnerships that have formed in each county individually, and they offer a comprehensive health insurance product to kids aged 0 to 18 called Healthy Kids. And Healthy Kids covers medical, dental in most counties, and vision in also most counties. So as of 2006, the Healthy Kids program had covered over 84,000 kids in California, and some of the data that I'm going to present shows data from 22 counties that actually represent about 68% of the uninsured in California. So when the Healthy Kids program started, the first one started in Santa Clara in 2001, USC, the Center for Community Health Studies, started a statewide evaluation of each of the county programs to measure access to and utilization of services and also to track quality improvement in these Healthy Kids programs and to create a standardized measure set by which to track performance. And one of the goals was also to have performance measures that were comparable to some of the other state programs, state and federal programs, including Medi-Cal, which is California's Medicaid, and Healthy Families, which is California's SCHIP program. So what are the issues in assessing children's health care? Well, one of them is that, for the most part, children are free from disease, especially in comparison to adults. And the diseases that do afflict children are mostly low prevalence conditions, so it's harder to track these diseases over time on a larger population level, especially when you're dealing with county levels or smaller counties with smaller populations of children. Secondly, as I mentioned, the Healthy Kids program in each county was developed as a private-public partnership. So hospitals, county first five commissions, local businesses, and usually a health plan partner got together to form this initiative to offer Healthy Kids. And so another issue is that if a health plan doesn't already collect data on a measure, it's difficult to actually go and collect other sets of measures because of limited time and resources, because that would usually involve some sort of medical record review, which is very timely and costly. Thirdly, there are no clear measures to track changes in health status of children over time currently. And as I was looking into this a little bit more, there was a consensus statement that actually came out from the Department of Health and Human Services in August of this year, that where they basically said that quality improvement should be demonstrated by providing information on performance using standardized quality measures. Indicators for public health quality are not commonplace. The tools comparable to ones used to assess the quality of patient care, such as health plan report cards and HEDIS, are not available for most parallel functions of the public health system. So while HEDIS is not necessarily an ideal measure, I heard a quote from one of the talks yesterday that I'm going to borrow, essentially using HEDIS measures to track performance in health insurance for kids is like building the bridge as you walk over it. Second objective is using HEDIS measures. What does HEDIS stand for? HEDIS stands for the Health Employer Data and Information Set. This set of measures were actually identified and created by the National Committee for Quality Assurance, which is a national nonprofit organization. There are 52 measures currently that track health insurance use and access for kids. And HEDIS is used by over 90% of health plans to measure performance and care and services, not necessarily health insurance or health outcomes or status. Usually HEDIS is measured in two ways, or purported in two ways. Administrative data will actually be used to report a rate of utilization. For example, well-child visits. So how many well-child visits children in one county received for in the past year, and that's taken directly from health plan data. The other method of reporting HEDIS is through hybrid data, which is usually more accurate because it involves not only taking administrative data, but then going in to take a sampling of medical records and doing a review to make sure that the administrative data is really reflecting the actual rate of use. So what I show here in this table is a sampling of the HEDIS measures that we used. There were 9 measures that we used to assess healthy kids' performance in the counties. And I'll show you some data that we collected in the next couple slides. So one thing that was beneficial to using HEDIS is that health plans already report HEDIS measures in these counties for other state and federal programs like Medi-Cal and Healthy Families. Not exactly all the same measures, but a sampling of them. So one thing that I should mention as one of the advantages is that while the measures of access and quality of care in this study are mainly process measures, they are valuable proxies for assessing the impact of healthy kids as an insurance product on child health status. So I'm going to show you an example of some of the data we collected for these measures. We collected data for 2005 and 2006 in these 16 counties across California. And essentially, they represent the 84,000 kids who are covered by healthy kids in 2006. So here's an example of how the HEDIS measures can be used for well-child visits for young children ages 3 to 6. You'll see on the y-axis is the acronym for the counties, and light blue measures 2005, dark blue is 2006. And essentially what you can see here is that children in the Healthy Kids program received a well-child visit on an average, a weighted average, the rate of 57%, and that compares to 73% of Medi-Cal members of the same age group and 65% of healthy families. So one thing that HEDIS measures allows us to do is look at performance by county, and then across programs. So while well-child visits is more of a process measure, essentially it also is a proxy, as an indicator to, because children who receive a well-child visit are more likely to have received immunizations and preventive care, such as anticipatory guidance, that otherwise children don't receive when they only go in for sick care. Another example is looking at primary care visits. HEDIS measures have primary care visits across all age groups, but what we're looking at here is just 2 years to 6 years old children. And what you can see is in healthy kids, about 75% of children received primary care visit, whereas 87% in healthy families did. And this tells you that simply, regardless of the existence of a health problem, that children were receiving access to primary care in these counties. So another example is for a HEDIS measure is looking at dental care. Again, dental care for HEDIS goes across all age groups, but I'm just showing you an example of 4 to 6 year olds here. Healthy kids on average in 2006 received about 72% of dental visits in this age group, and in Medi-Cal about 48% received dental care. So one thing this tells us across programs and comparing programs is that there's a great need for dental care, specifically in this population who is considered high risk for dental caries. So two more examples I'll show you. One of them is emergency department visits for children and adolescents. The HEDIS measure for emergency department visits is interesting because it captures the emergency department visits that did not result in an inpatient hospitalization stay. So essentially, if the emergency department visits were higher, that per program or per age level, it indicates that there's more costly emergent care being used when potentially less costly primary care could be accessed. And what you see here for healthy kids, for example, in kids aged 1 to 9 years old, about 12.7 visits per 1,000 member months were for emergency department visits, compared to about 31 for Medi-Cal and 18 for healthy families. So again, this measure allows us to compare across programs, and what I did here was just a weighted average by county so we could compare programs. The last example is immunizations. So this brings me to one of the disadvantages of using HEDIS for health insurance impact on these kids. Immunizations is very difficult to measure across counties and across states, and it's not necessarily an exclusive problem to healthy kids, but we have so many systems in California that that provide immunizations for kids. So a lot of times before enrolling into healthy kids, kids will be enrolled in the California Health and Disability Prevention Program, where they receive their immunizations, or in school-based programs, or what we've learned actually from a lot of the counties, especially in Los Angeles, is that a lot of the children will actually receive immunizations in Mexico before coming into the United States. So it's not something that we can really track as well with HEDIS. One of the policy implications there is that having some sort of comprehensive program of tracking immunizations would be ideal across programs. So essentially, from the data that we do have, the SPOTI data, about 62% of healthy kids did receive an immunization in 2006, where about 77% in Medi-Cal did. So other disadvantages in using HEDIS is that small counties often do not have adequate numbers for HEDIS calculations. And then our data does not account for the differences in provider resources for actually reporting. So HEDIS measures also, if you are looking at administrative data, it's contingent upon providers actually reporting the data to their health plans. For example, how many kids did receive a well-child visit or other visits that are not actually reimbursed. A third disadvantage is that hybrid measures are more reliable, but as I mentioned, they are more costly and time-consuming. And lastly, measuring healthcare in a mobile population is difficult because the Healthy Kids program, as I mentioned, is a separate county program. So when kids actually move from one county to the other, they need to disenroll, or actually they just fall out of one program, and then they have to re-enroll in another program. And HEDIS measures, in order to report, have a one-year coverage criteria for reporting. So we actually miss the children who are not enrolled in a program for an entire year. So in conclusion, HEDIS measures are valuable proxies for assessing the impact of health insurance on children over time and across counties. It's a valuable resource to use immediately because there are benchmarks that are available through other programs. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, speakers. We'd like to open up to any questions to anyone, and if you could state your name and affiliation. Yes.
Russ Toll, Georgia State University. So our last speaker, what evidence is there that, in fact, these process measures are an effective proxy for measuring impact?
One thing I should have mentioned is that our statewide evaluation is a multi-project study, and what I presented was just looking at performance, these measures. One of the things that we're going to be doing is conducting a statewide survey to actually get at the outcomes and the health status of these children, and then correlate the data to see what it actually shows in the Healthy Kids population. So we don't actually have that data yet, but there are some pieces of evidence in other programs that show that there is some correlation. I don't have that immediately.
Well, I think to be technically correct, I mean, in your presentation, it should say that they may be a proxy, not that they are. But quite frankly, in many of these populations, we don't know that these measures are in fact real proxy for health status.
Sure, I agree with you. I could say they're potential from good proxies, and data is forthcoming to show the actual correlation with health status and health outcomes.
Yes, here's another question.
For
Miguel Gonzalez from the National Institute of Public Health. For Arturo. It's a very interesting study indeed, and the two questions.
Okay.
One is that the out-of-pocket expenditures in the state system,
uh-huh.
It could have been directed to pay for the public health services themselves, or for private services.
That's right. It can be indistinctly, because the survey only asked about whether you have pay out of your pocket, either for public or for private health services.
So there is no way to distinguish.
No.
The second it has to do with the capacity in the IMSS program,
mm-hmm.
What you call the federal.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you mentioned that providers could be much more motivated.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence to suggest that perhaps, because this is an anti-poverty program, services were receiving some funding by the anti-poverty program?
Yeah, that's right. This is one of two papers in my dissertation, and the second paper goes deeply into comparing those families that are receiving the cash grants and those who are not receiving the cash grants. And yes, there's an effect that those who were receiving the cash grants were in the treatment group, either if they were served by the federal or state health systems, they performed better. So there was like a policy where both state and federal providers benefited from providing cash grants to certain communities.
But to what extent was your sample on unbiased.
Oh, unbiased with respect to, oh, okay, yeah.
Equally, they were equally
yes.
receiving.
Yes, they're equally receiving the households. In this study only, they
and
were equal.
And providers, because providers also receive some.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but I was unable to disaggregate whether providers, state or federal, were receiving different, because as you know, the state budgets usually centralize all your budget and then they decide whether to fund better state clinics in the rural areas compared with the federal budget, where you can disaggregate the budget that goes into IMSS oportunidades. So I obviously tried to go deeper into the budget to find out the differences, but I wasn't able to find the statistics for the state delivery systems that serve families who are enrolling in oportunidades. So that's why in my discussion it's only open as a possibility that federal providers may be receiving slightly more, although they have told me that it's not the case, it's only anecdotal. Whether the federal is receiving slightly more money than the states to only serve this population of oportunidades.
Well, they do receive much more money.
Federal providers.
The federal program is a much more expensive program.
Mm-hmm.
So far as they only fund primary care and very little
hospitalization. Of hospitalization, that's right.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
Although including in the community infrastructure variables, there's like yes, and it's significant at the community level that those who are served by the federal system have more access to limited hospitalization compared to those who are served by the state, which is like, I totally agree with your point of view. So even I'm controlling for that, to trying to reduce the possible effect of a better supply of hospitalization services by the federal provider.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, next question.
Yeah, that's an excellent observation, and that we also thought that may be part of the explanation there in terms of where that, you know, where the frame of reference is for those self-assessed measures. The interesting thing is there are another set of analyses that I presented earlier today where we actually looked at differences in health outcomes across these categories of public health systems and using measures of preventable mortality. We found the same general pattern of effect with poor scores on preventable mortality in those middle two categories, 4 and 5, as compared to the either extreme. So that's, now we're out of the realm of a self-assessed measure where there may be some psychometric issues going on into a more objective measure of health outcome. So that kind of blew our psychometric explanation for that finding out of the water. Another explanation we've been kind of toying with, and we have some more work ongoing now to really try to uncover this, is that perhaps in those conventional systems, they're working with more limited resources, but are really trying to provide a broader scope of services. So the match between resources and services may be off compared to the more limited systems where they may recognize we've only got a limited amount of resources. We're only going to try to, we're going to only specialize in some core areas and not try to offer a full service, full array of public health services. So maybe, I mean, that's one operating hypothesis that we have there for why that middle category seems to be performing poorer than the other two ends of the spectrum, whether it's on a self-assessed measure or on an objective measure of health outcomes. But we welcome any other thoughts you may have or ideas.
Services in order to survive.
Yep.
Given a category four,
Right.
So I think that deals for one of that cyclic.
Yeah, excellent observation. Thank you.
Okay. One more question.
I'm from the One World Trust in London. I have a question concerning the methodology about measuring practice in terms of service delivery. Most of the institutions that you were all, I think, talking about were government or state institutions. And so the data that you were getting was information that was recorded either through an administrative process or in response to your queries. And I suppose that there is a certain diligence in reporting truthfully in state institutions. At the same time, you were mentioning, and that's in particular when it comes to child's healthcare issues, more and more non-state actors are involved in the delivery of healthcare. How would you propose to iron out any differences in the quality of the data that you might get in terms of response when you're asking for a response from state institutions and non-state institutions who would respond on either an untested basis because their systems might not be as powerful to correct to report accurately, or they might respond with a different aim in the sense of presenting themselves, you know, to be good service deliverers because their contracts might depend on that. Is that something that you've been taking into account, and how would you, for practice assessments, deal with that? As I think many institutions are moving service delivery towards models where both state and non-state institutions are involved in the delivery.
Who would like to answer that question?
I think it has implications for all of our.
Yeah, players. Right. I think it was directing it to everyone here.
There was a lot in there.
It's one of those kind of.
Sure. On your question. Let's see. At this. So the specific aspect of your question on accuracy, then, in reporting?
Quality of data.
One of the things that we did look at with health plans, and these were county-level health plans, was the quality improvement initiatives that they've been going through in trying to get physicians to report encounters that they don't necessarily need to report. And there are a lot of initiatives in each of the counties, but I think that's one constant thing that they're all struggling with. And so one of the methods that I know specifically for HEDIS is that, aside from using administrative data, is going in to actually do the medical record reviews and doing the chart reviews to try to get at what is the real picture going on.
Well, in my case, it's not totally administrative data. It's a household survey that was contracted from the Mexican government to the public Institute of Public Health. That is, it's also a governmental institution, but it's autonomous. So they have researchers that they create this survey based on scientific criteria, more less than political or other kind of specific objectives from government officials. However, I tried later to use administrative data to compare more, to go narrow, like to go deeper in my analysis of the comparison between federal and state healthcare providers. And there is where I found several problems for me, because I tried to go into the showing in a quantitative way, the budget issues or the differences in incentives or possible ways of being more clear in my conclusions in the causal link between the federal and state healthcare providers. And there is where I found that the federal system had very good data. And I had several measures that I could have used to do my study, to show my conclusions in a stronger way. However, the state provider, there was a lot of heterogeneity in the data. Some states had very good data that I could have been using, others were not. And obviously, the measures were not coordinated, so I was not able to compare directly the state with the federal. So I think that in that way, some kind of coordination among states with the federal government would be useful in order to do this like state-federal comparisons.
Okay, I think our speakers would be available afterwards if you have further questions. But on behalf of the Health Administration section, thank you for attending this session.
Thank you. Okay, so I don't need that. And that's all.